So here comes Daryl Rotter, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Good morning, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
All right. What did you think of everything?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The story in the locker room after the game was about the fan reaction to Deshaun Watson being carted off with that ruptured Achilles. It started with Myles Garrett. It was actually a little unusual. They got us into the interview room and closed the doors. They didn't want anybody in the hallway outside the locker room, which is a rare thing, a little inside football for folks. Those that wanted to do the press conferences, you go in the interview room, and then everyone else that wants to go right into the locker room, you line up on the wall and whatnot, and they didn't do that yesterday, so I was thinking, well, something's up, something's going on. They're trying to hide something. They don't want us to see something that's going on or whatever. And then Myles Garrett walks in and, you know, lambastes the fans and says they should be ashamed of themselves for their reaction. Go into the locker room, talk to Greg Newsome. He has some colorful language about the situation, and every player was very displeased with what they felt was a disrespectful reaction to that injury, and felt that fans were out of bounds and over the line, you know, regardless of how you felt about how he was playing or any other circumstances in his life. You know, Jameis Winston went viral with his 2.5-minute monologue on the subject. So really, the fact that they lost another game and can't score 20 points, and you know, Nick Chubb scored a touchdown, and you know what? None of that really seemed to matter after that one.
Do you think, Daryl, that the players took it a little too far? That wasn't necessarily representative of the Browns fan base as a whole.
I kind of feel like it was an orchestrated expression of anger at the fans, because Jameis Winston, before he took a question, he made it a point to say what he said. Myles Garrett, that was the first thing out of his mouth. You know, Greg Newsome made it a colorful point. It felt like that was a coordinated effort on behalf of, you know, the locker room there to say what was said after the game. So, I don't know, Anthony, but I could hear it in the press box. You know, my take on the situation, I had no problem with him getting booed during player introductions. That's fine. He's not played well. That's not a secret. But once a guy's hurt, you don't celebrate that. You know, it's different if he gets pulled from the game on a coach's decision or something, and you want to cheer that, fine. But when the man is on the ground and he is obviously injured and they are bringing a cart out for him, I regardless of your feelings and your frustrations and your anger, whatever, I just don't think that that's something to be celebrated. That's just my personal take on
it. Well, Daryl, this to me is going to be really, really dangerous. And what I mean by that is, we know that winning solves a lot of the stuff that happens, a lot of the nonsense, but they're not going to win. They're going to end up being one of the worst teams in football. They've got the most expensive roster in like football history.
Yep.
And they've got a bunch of veterans, and it's already going south. And now you have kind of a war developing between the players and the fans. Like, we've seen bad, apathetic Brown situations before, 0-16, 1-15. Could this even be worse?
I think so. I think this could get very ugly, both on the field as well as off the field. This is going to be very challenging on Kevin Stefanski to keep this thing together, because you're right. This is basically the same team that went 11-5 a year ago. They ran it back. The only new pieces added, the draft class and Jerry Jeudy. And obviously they've subtracted Amari Cooper. Now you subtract Deshaun Watson from the you know, the equation. I mean, this is stunning for me. The fact that this team is this bad. This is the third time in franchise history they've gone their first seven games without being able to score 7 points. They did it in 1975, and the 1999 expansion Browns team did it. They're historically bad, and that's That's on the players, okay? It's not the fans' fault. It's not the media's fault. It's the players' and the coaches' fault that every week you can queue up multiple pre-snap penalties on the offensive line. You know, people want to talk about, hey, I thought we were going to do all this shifting this year and all this fancy stuff with the new Ken Dorsey offense. They can't even line up correctly. And then when they do shift, they can't even do that correctly. So why would you keep doing that over and over? So they are mentally undisciplined, and at times they're physically undisciplined. And that's on coaching. And then, you know, the players aren't going out and executing what they're supposed to execute on the field. The defense, I think, has been okay this year. It's not been great. It's not been elite like it was a year ago, but it's been okay. And, you know, this is what, the fifth game, I should say, where they allowed 21 or fewer points, and they're 1-4 in those games. They can't score 20 points. The offense can't put 20 points on the board. You know, and for the, I think we also learned something yesterday. Maybe Kevin Stefanski, and I mentioned this on the podcast after the game. I got to wear this one, you know, because I was mocking Kevin when he was telling us that Deshaun gave him the best chance to win. Well, guess what? Maybe Kevin was actually telling the truth.
Hey, yeah, I brought that up last week. I got yelled at. You guys yelled at me about that. I go, well, maybe we don't know what's going on. Maybe he does tell the truth, but let me tell
guilty
you
guilty is charged, Ken. Guilty is charged.
So then but this is the worst quarterback room in NFL history then.
Well, I don't know about NFL
we haven't
history.
Seen Jameis yet. We'll figure that out.
If you're saying that they thought Deshaun, who was putting up the worst numbers in modern NFL history, right. If they thought that he was giving them the best chance to win, then who's responsible for putting this quarterback room together? Because then it would have to be the worst quarterback room in NFL history.
Well, I think RG3, Josh McCown, and Cody Kessler would like a word.
I think Deshaun Kizer and Kevin Hogan would like a word. But the numbers don't back that up, Daryl. The numbers would suggest that this would be the worst if they weren't willing to go to anybody else.
Colt McCoy and Seneca Wallace would like a word.
Again, all statistically better than what Watson has been.
I was about to say, I had a few other names that came into my mind. So, anyway. Why'd you say it? I was remembering years of glory, years of old there, Lima. I got distracted.
Daryl, what I didn't necessarily care for is we found out, like, he found out he could be, did he know before practice Dorian Thompson Robinson that he was the backup quarterback on Friday? Or did he know after practice? Because practice is over after Friday. Saturday is not a practice day. You can just go over stuff. So, like, if you don't know, I can't say, well, maybe Kevin has a point. Well, did you put your backup quarterback in the right position to be successful? Because from what I saw him play, I thought he did the best job he could. But that was all instinctual football. None of that was really, hey, I'm breaking this system down, and this is what we're doing, and we have a game plan here. I saw him take off, and he showed a lot of good athleticism and things like that. But I don't think there was anything in terms of a game plan once Dorian Thompson-Robinson came in.
Well, don't tell Kevin Stefanski that, because he said that was the game plan, that they had a package of plays that they were considering using, and that's why he made the switch. And then he mentioned that the backup quarterbacks don't get any reps with the ones anyway in practice.
Well,
no
I can understand. I can understand that, but when did he tell him?
Yeah, I was not. I did not visit with the DTR after the game, so. But I think that's a fair point. If there is a package of plays for a guy that you're building into your game plan, wouldn't you run those with the ones in practice?
Yeah, like I kind of want to get really mad at Kevin. I need to know more.
Yeah, I mean I'm very cautious doing this. I kind of feel like Kevin fibbed there. You know what I mean? Like if you really had a package of plays for a guy, why aren't you repping those with the first team? Because he was specifically asked yesterday after the game
that's a good point.
If the backup quarterback, if DTR got some reps this past week with the ones, and I'm scrambling to pull up the transcript here real quick, but I'm pretty sure I heard Kevin say no. So,
like that is part of the install as you practice those plays, like the one where Deshaun lined up in the slot and then came around on the reverse and tried to throw to the end zone. I think it was to Sid Tillman. Yes. Like that's practice when you install that. That's not just, hey, let's go ahead and do this. Unless you're really in a desperate situation, then I guess you can, but you're at least going to run over it a couple times.
Right. So, I have my own personal view on why that was done yesterday, but Yeah, I mean, he went with the, hey, we had some things we wanted, we might have thought about doing during the game.
Would you like to shed some insight on that?
No. Well, we'll see. Lima, it's going to be a long season. We can save that one for Friday.
Oh. Oh. Daryl, do you think that some of the players might have conflated the, like I know you said you heard what you heard. I was in the stadium. My situation was different. Like, right. Guys, I'm not saying that there were no people cheering. That would be stupid. I know what I saw. I don't think it was 66,000 people. I don't think, but when you get 66,000 people in a stadium, yeah, there's going to be some goofballs in there. That's the way it goes. Right. Let me say this, though. Do you think that they may have conflated the pregame reaction when he was announced? Because I booed him without mercy when he was announced on Sunday or before that game.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like they made a mistake. They should have just, like, I forget the player that was introduced before Deshaun, but he was the second to last interview. They saved Nick Chubb for introduced, I should say. Chubb was the last name announced for obvious reasons. They should just say, and a quarterback, Deshaun Watson, and welcome back, running back, Nick Chubb.
Yes.
And then the fans go to, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they should have told Deshaun, we're going to do that to spare you the booing that we're expecting, you know, from fans. But, and that's why I said what I said earlier, Ken. I didn't have a problem with the pregame thing. That's fine. But, and you're right.
Well, performance is performance. They're professionals, and Myles Garrett even said that himself.
Correct. But, you know, then I heard what I heard, too, when he was carted off. And there was, you know what they say, you know, one bad apple spoils the bunch. Well, there were a couple of bad apples in the stands that expressed, you know, their delight in Deshaun being injured. So that's unfortunate, but, you know, that's just where we're at.
Does it feel like the era is over today?
Yeah. I don't know how you come back from that now. I really don't. You know, I got to imagine the Haslams heard the boos yesterday. I've got to imagine that, you know, they see the writing on the wall with what he's done on the field to this point, right? You know, he came back from one injury, did not light the world on fire, and is a big reason why they're now 1-6. I don't know that you come back from this. The franchise guy is not here. He's not on the roster. And Andrew Berry or whoever it's going to be making that decision is going to have to find that guy now. We are back, Ken, unfortunately, we are back on the quarterback carousel pre-2018 when they drafted Baker, right? We got a little stability when Baker was here, and then, you know, they made the decision to move to Deshaun. And the only reason we've been on the carousel since Deshaun has been here is because he's not been available for one reason or another. But it feels like we are back in the 1999 to 2017 era where the team doesn't win. The fans are frustrated and angry because the team isn't winning. And expectations, you know, every year everyone's hopeful that this is the year for the Browns, and that isn't there. And they don't have a franchise quarterback. And we're probably going to be talking ourselves into some point, hey, Jameis Winston can be the guy, or Dorian Thompson-Robinson, they can just stick with him and they'll be fine. But I think that the reality is that
can I give you a counterpoint, Daryl? Can I give you a counterpoint?
It's your show.
Aaron Rodgers came back. He was on the practice field 77 days after his surgery. Does Deshaun Watson take medicine advice from Aaron Rodgers?
Did Aaron Rodgers play again last year, Lima?
They thought he could have. I mean, yeah, I remember they said if they would have been in the playoffs that he could have.
How are the Jets doing this year, by the way?
Not good.
Okay. I'm just checking. Okay. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers
is trying to trade for Jerry Rice in this case. I mean, how many more wide receivers you got to trade for?
How many former Jameis Winston teammates are out there that the Browns can look at bringing in here?
You say that now. We'll find out by December.
Let me take that back. I don't want to give anyone over there any ideas right now.
Do you think right now, with all this happening, it's very early, so I'm probably going to have to ask you this again on Friday and later on in the season, obviously. Front office, head coach, safe?
For now, okay. But I think that if this continues to get ugly, I think that there's a possibility that could change. I mean, Ken, this was a team that was supposed to be a Super Bowl contender.
There's so many people. Ken, you're not paying attention to this. Guys, we will get to it all. I will tell you something we didn't get to with Darryl.
They can find a way to be worse than New England.
Elijah Moore was suspended for the first quarter yesterday.
New England's pretty bad right now.
Apparently, Stefanski mentioned that.
That's just where we're at. I'm sorry.
In the postgame?
There's Kevin after the game yesterday. Go ahead.
Yeah, and guess what? I don't know if there's a quarterback that's going to be available that you really want.
Oh, come on. There's always a guy we could talk ourselves into.
If there's one thing we're really good at doing here in Cleveland, it's talking ourselves into a quarterback being good.
You don't need a reason. They need a reason. What's the reason?
Thank you for the time.
Are you going to say your stupid joke now?
I'm not going to make any reference.
I will say it with you. Say the reason. Say the stupid reason right now.
That if he got into a fist fight with a teammate, our wide receivers would be punching Judy.
Today?
We could take two more.
Come on, Les would appreciate that.
He would.
Les would appreciate that.
Why can't we just know, though? Seriously.
He would have a great wry smile over there in the corner. He'd know that's what he would do.
He'd be chuckling. Why can't we know? I want to know. Why can't we know? Just tell us.
Why do you think? Why?
This stuff gets out everywhere else. Why can't we? We're a terrible football team anyway.
Guys,
what does it matter?
That's like number 400 on the list of
what's it say on the
bad
calendar?
400 things right now.
What's it say on the calendar? What day is it?
Monday.
October 21st. That means we'll find out in December. Just like Jadeveon Clowney, we will find out what transpired in December. And that if history repeats itself, that means that he's going to turn around and call Mary Kay a liar. Like Jadeveon Clowney did, which he was totally wrong to do.
And he was wrong.
He sung like a canary.
Is Elijah Moore a trade candidate, or does anybody...
Okay.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
What are you going to get?
Well, you're seeing guys like, who is the former Chiefs receiver that we...
5'9" wide receiver.
Kadarius Toney.
Okay. What?
Well, between him,
Never mind. No, I'd rather have Elijah Moore.
These guys get workouts every week with teams. Is Elijah Moore, would he fit that category? I don't know.
Somebody'd have to bring him in, right? To just put him on a practice squad somewhere.
Who?
I'm just...
The Carolina Panthers. They're
an
easy one.
We swapped second-round picks for Elijah. No, I meant
the Jaguars.
I meant the wide receiver I'm talking about. You're talking about Elijah Moore?
No, I'm saying if he was no longer a part of our organization.
No, I just meant anybody trade
Let's see what he does.
Something at the end of the draft for him.
Kadarius Toney was, I think the Chiefs traded a second or third for him.
So the way we're going to make this all better is putting Kadarius Toney out there? Or are you just saying none of this is going to get any better?
They have a history of former Chiefs wide receivers coming to this team and not doing much for them.
How's that record label doing?
They got financed. That's all that matters.
Oh, my God. That's right. I was a proponent of that signing. There was a wise old man who sat in this chair and goes, no, you don't want to do it.
Daisy.
I was like, nah, he'll be great here. And he wasn't great here. Certainly wasn't. 216-474-0092. Nowhere bigger is there a chasm. I don't like this whole thing. Sucks. I've told the story how I've experienced it several times over, and I don't need to get into it again. I probably will eventually, but I don't need to get into it again. You can hear it at 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app. I can only go by what I saw. I'm not going to sit there and deny that there were definitely people who were quiet during that moment, who were silently hoping that this is the end. Silently hoping that this is the end. And there's a lot of us that, I would agree with you. I wanted it to come to an end. I didn't want it to come to an end this way. I did not want it to come to an end like that. That is depraved. And I think that most of the people, even if they were quiet and going, well, at least we can finally move on, they would understand that that's depraved. I don't need to preach to 70,000 people in a stadium. Guys, they're fans in 2024, and it doesn't make up for any behavior. You can only control and police who you are and who the people are around you. But you get 70,000 people in a building, they're not all going to be 100% in agreement with everything that goes on out there. And it's a professional sporting event.
What Darryl said was interesting. He said that it seemed like, to him, this was an opinion, since he's not reporting this as fact, but... He said it seemed like it was an orchestrated effort by the Browns players to call out the fans.
Is that to in turn take the heat off of their play?
I don't know because
there was
Jameis
several
Winston
things.
Was not asked about it. He started with it.
Well,
he
what,
led with it.
Had they had never said, if they would have sat on their hands and said nothing, I could go over the penalties that are still being committed pre-snap in week 7. Week 7,
it's
right?
Unbelievable. It was every positive play in the first
practice?
Half was an illegal formation.
Do we practice? Do I talk about the blown coverages and Jamar Chase letting you hear it every single play? Boy, I got to tell you, they do have some restraint. Those guys hate each other, and somehow it doesn't come to blows.
Did you see what Chase did to Newsom after he scored the touchdown?
Yes, I did.
He walked right over him, and Newsom ran to the ref. I'm like, I don't know if I run to the ref. I might get into it with Jamar Chase a little bit.
Daryl might believe that this was an orchestrated deal.
Yeah. Yeah, he thinks...
Right, those are Daryl's words. I can't do it. Now, do we ask Rodney about that tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely we do. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it.
That's going to be a hell of an hour.
Jameis Winston led with that. He led with it like it was his introductory statement in a press conference.
Wait, wasn't he asked, though?
He said he was not at the start. He said he opened up with it. Unprovoked. So that does
so are we
speak to what that might be.
So what Daryl is alleging here... Are they better at changing narratives than they are? Are they better prepared to change a narrative than they are about their play on the field? Because it's very, very easy to go after fans and take a group of fans out of an entire group and then get a... I mean, that's what we've been talking about today. We've been talking about fans and how they act and how fans should act and whether or not all Browns fans should be ashamed and how all Browns fans want to... And they'd be coming after us and going back after them. And I'm going, guys, most 99% of fans do not want to see what happened out there on the field. Good, bad, ugly. They didn't want to see that go down out there. There were definitely a group of fans out there
that were quiet.
There were plenty... Not yesterday.
Okay.
This was Saturday.
But, I mean, think about the people that were there with their kids and they're seeing a player crying on a golf cart in agony.
Crying out loud,
I know fans right now, they're screaming at their radios, $250 million, whatever.
But I thought Jameis was asked.
But that doesn't change. That doesn't change the fact that you have a guy who is trying to salvage his career. He's trying to rebuild his legacy. And now it looks like that's been taken away from him. I mean, you know, he might have the Aaron Rodgers recovery timeline. The question is, do the Browns even care at that point? I don't know.
No, they're going to have to move on. Everything that has been shown. You can't just take a bath on the contract. That's not what I'm saying. But you're going to have to move forward here now. And that's going to be whether he sits on the bench or anything like that. Like at this time now, you know, this is what changes with this injury. And this is tough to talk about. If he goes out there and he's the backup behind, say they take Cam Ward, okay? They take Cam Ward, he's the backup. He's no longer their focal point. He's just a very expensive backup. Because he gets hurt in October, will he be ready to start the season this year? Remember, you guys bring up Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got hurt week 1. This is week 7. So he gets hurt in October. I don't know if he's going to be 100% ready to go next year. You could very well keep him on the roster, and you're not going to have that. They will announce their rookie quarterback, and no one's going to boo you anymore. There might be some people who jeer you on the sideline. I think this changes now. This changes. People will get excited, and they'll buy the jerseys of the new player that comes around. Because I got to tell you, we were sitting there in the stands, and I looked around. I saw more Charlie Hewlett jerseys. I saw more Joe Flacco jerseys. I'm sure there were some Deshaun Watson jerseys out there, but damn it, it was like playing Where's Waldo out there in the stands. And that was noted, and I texted our show thread on that in the first quarter. We were looking around going, I don't see any Watson jerseys out here.
I did see them. I had the TV perspective, and I saw, you know, Channel 5.
I'm sure you did.
Channel 5 does a pregame in the stadium, and I saw one or two, but it was not, you know, the majority of it is Miles and Chubb, and those are the guys you're getting. You're not getting the franchise quarterback that you paid all this money to.
Oh, a whole lot
as the lead jersey in the stadium.
And I'm telling you right now, if you bring him out next year, if you bring him out and he stood there on the sidelines, I think people would just more than likely move on and that be it. Yeah. And they're gonna root for Cam Ward or Shador Sanders or my guy Garrett Nussmeier or any of that. Like, they're gonna root for those guys. Well, any three of those guys could be a really good quarterback, just right off the top of my head. But I'm pointing out that they're gonna root for them. Yeah, they're gonna get excited for Cam Ward, who can make a lot of things happen. So that, I think, changes this. Like, if he were to continue to play and play poorly, it is this huge elephant in the room. And I said, you're not going to have him play poorly and then stand him on the sidelines. Like, he's not a backup. I didn't foresee this happening.
No.
Now that this has happened, it's changed a lot. Because now you can go, he needs help to be able to process out on the field. You can give me that he was 15 to 17. You guys know what you saw. Maybe he would have got things started up in the second half, but it wasn't good. You were behind the sticks. He was pulling his eyes down. He was pulling the ball down. There were a lot of things that weren't that great, and even when he got hurt, he was going to pull the ball down. Adam Archuleta, I think that guy had it in his head on Monday. I don't know when he gets the assignment, but if he got the assignment on Monday, he seemed to have had it in his head he was going to expose everything going on in that football game on Sunday afternoon yesterday in his broadcast. You got something over there? Is this the audio, Adam Archuleta? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Spiro, I just, for the second or third time today, I just feel like Deshaun Watson's playing it too conservative. You have this route. I know they're running this underneath bout, but you have this window right there, and they're just not being aggressive in hitting those intermediate throws. That they've had a chance to hit those throws three or four times already in this game.
And they're showing the ones that he's not seeing, and now you can go, we're going to take him. He is still a huge investment. And we're going to work with him on how to process this in case we need him. But we're going to move on as a franchise. That's the way you can do this. Ugly to talk about, but it's the truth.
He finished with numbers, and I saw some of the same social media accounts that have been defending Watson's play inexplicably over the last however. And they showed the numbers there for this game and said he was in rhythm. He had one nice throw that was even, you can't even say down the field.
I thought he had two.
Maybe two. I watch all the NFL. I watch all the worst quarterbacks in the league have five of those throws a week. Deshaun had two. You can't run an offense throwing the ball to your backup tight end, dumping it off, play action, with two receivers streaking down the field, yeah, dumping it off to your backup tight end,
yeah,
which is all he was doing. He had lost complete and total confidence that he could convert anything. I was surprised, yeah, even on the trick play, he even decided to throw it in the end zone to Tillman.
It was tough. But either way, that is a way that you can keep him calm the season. Maybe you can work with him. Maybe you can work with him, and if you were to need him, maybe he could come out and show you something next year after he gets it fixed. But seeing him coming off the field, there's a lot more than the Achilles that needs to be fixed. I think that this is a man who's dealing with some serious stuff right now.
This is What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
All right, What's Wild? We do it every single week at this time. And it was, I thought, I want to say wild week in the NFL. I thought it was kind of a stinker all the way around, not just with what happened with us.
Pretty tame week, yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, the wildest thing happened here. And we spent 2 hours on it already.
Yeah, you're right.
That was wild.
I'll start out with
Lima's wild thing.
Detroit. And I did think it was a bit of a wild game, man. You saw some excellent skill position stuff in that game between the Lions and the Vikings. Detroit put up 21 points in the second quarter. But what I found to be most wild of all, I can't believe this resurgence by Jared Goff. He had three incompletions yesterday in that game. And it wasn't just yesterday. If you look at his last four games, he has 15 total incompletions. Three yesterday against Minnesota. He had seven against Dallas. He had no incompletions against Seattle and five in a win over Arizona. So they've won four in a row. He's been darn near perfect.
Jared Goff's your MVP. Come on.
Is he?
Probably not.
What about Baker? Is Baker up there?
I'd rather have Jared Goff.
It's not Mahomes.
No, it's not Mahomes.
Mahomes has what, five touchdowns, seven interceptions?
Correct.
Right now, I think you're right, Goff. With that win, they knocked off Minnesota from the ranks of the unbeaten. And that was a fun, fun football game yesterday. So I will go with Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. Mitch?
Mitch's wild thing.
Frustrations brewing for the Jets after they fell to 2-5 last night and lost to the Steelers. And Aaron Rodgers, after the game, getting a little testy with a reporter.
How do you get everybody to keep the belief when it seems like a lot of the same mistakes?
Stop listening to you guys, number one. Number two, got to be accountable. I got to play better. That's the key. I got to play better. We got to find a way to run the ball better so we can action pass. You know, I thought did some nice things in the passing game. Brees obviously had a couple of really nice ones. Spread the ball around to Tay, G, and Allen. Mike had a nice conversion, but we got to run the ball better, and I got to play better.
Stop listening to you guys. What does that mean?
How is he listening to so them, it's just, I guess, my question.
Yeah, are the players listening to the media? Is that what he's saying, or the fans?
Well, he's always getting a jab in at the media one way or another. And with his, with a lot
of
his...
You're the one who said jab. That's interesting.
With a lot of his fans, watch it. He's going to go after you. With his fans, you know how Aaron Rodgers and his fan base is. Like, anytime you poke at the media, it's a win. So... I don't know why he's thinking media the first thing after a loss.
Us and the media didn't make him trade for Devontae Adams. They traded for Devontae Adams. Yeah.
Well, he made them trade for Devontae Adams.
Well, either way, okay, they traded for Devontae Adams. Yeah. They're the one who lost the football game. They're 2-5. Not the media. Phil Mushnick is not 2-5.
Yeah, it just seemed odd. And he, what, a combative relationship? Like, he's only played in like 8 games there.
Yeah, it's probably time for that to be over.
Great. Going well. Good.
Owen?
Owen's wild thing.
All right. Saquon Barkley revenge game yesterday. Eagles go into New York. They win 28-3. Saquon Barkley, 17 carries, 176 yards. He had a touchdown as well. On the season, 658 yards. He's averaging 6.1 a carry. But he said in the postgame he had a little extra motivation against his former team.
That was crazy. I mean, I've seen my jersey get burned before on social media, but the timing of it, like, I'm locked in, I'm listening to my music, and I see, like, the fans, and all I see is fans just pointing, and I look, and I'm like, what are they pointing at? And I see smoke, and I'm just like, my jersey getting burned. So, yeah, that was definitely different. I don't know if I ever experienced anything like that in my life, and, you know, hopefully I don't experience that again. But in that moment, I was ready for 3rd and 1, let's just say that.
Yeah, driving into the stadium, seeing the tailgaters, they were burning his New York Giants jerseys. Right. We all saw how that went down on Hard Knocks and everything.
I defend jersey burning.
Okay, let me ask.
Sure, money. If you want to set it on fire, go right on ahead.
Go ahead.
We always act way too outraged over jersey burning. Set the thing on fire. I don't care what you do with your money. Safely. Don't hurt anything else.
Was the first real jersey burning ever LeBron that people talked about?
Oh, I'm sure plenty of people burned jerseys before, but that was the most famous one.
But the one that went viral. And so I guess I would ask this question. Has anybody in the last 10 years burnt their sports jersey without filming it? The only reason anybody's doing it is to film it.
I don't think there's a point to
it. Right.
A buddy of mine burned a jersey, and we didn't film it. We were kids. Yeah, we were young.
The only point that maybe these guys didn't film it, but they definitely made sure Saquon saw it.
I guarantee it was filmed.
We were 33 years old.
I would like to say, but he's been pretty good all season. It's not like he just showed up for this game.
He has been. Kenny?
Ken's wild thing.
We wrong to question Mike Tomlin? Were we wrong to do that? Russell Wilson, 16-29 last night, 264 yards, averaged 9 per on completion, 2 touchdowns. The Steelers now 5-2. Is he hitting all the wide receivers that Justin Fields could not hit yesterday? Against the Jets. Yes, I go right back to the J-E-T-S, Jets game against the Steelers. And sub-question, apparently they fired the wrong person when it comes to the New York Jets. They shouldn't have fired Robert Saleh.
Well, who should they have?
I don't know. Maybe they should have just let go of Nathaniel Hackett. That
would be
it.
Great if they let a different person coach their team every week the rest of the year.
Oh, they might have to.
Even pull some of those New York Jets fans out of the media. If Jeff Saturday got to coach.
Maybe that's why they're taking away some of Fireman Ed's in-seat responsibilities to get him on the sideline.
They should bring in old players, old fans.
That would be great.
Go ahead. Bring Peter Schwartz into coaching.
If Fireman Ed, if they are truly phasing him out the way he says they are.
Wait, he says they're phasing him out?
Phase him into a front office role.
They won't show him anymore, Kenny. They won't show him on the big screen.
That guy is weird. It's weird.
Can you imagine having to take to social media and, guys, Fireman Ed here, have to make a statement. It pains me to do this as a lifelong Jets fan.
What?
But they are phasing me out of the in-game activity at the stadium. Can you imagine taking yourself that seriously?
Never burned a jersey, though? Fireman Ed.
No, you would put it out.
It's a hazard.
He would put it out.
He would have some decorum.
One of the funniest things Francesa has ever said, which Francesa isn't funny, so that's. But it was actually funny. they told him, I happened to be listening, and he found out that Fireman Ed was retiring. And he's, you get a pension for that. You're going to retire from being a fan. What's your retirement plan? He kept it up, and because he was so deadpan, it was hilarious. Then Fireman Ed came out of retirement, and now he's upset. It's getting weird,
that
man.
Was what was wild around the league.
But either way, yeah.
Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon.
You know, one
locations
day.
In Broadway no. Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
Now start talking.
Maybe we were wrong about Russell Wilson. Our love of Justin Fields has blinded us so much.
I did say last week, I wondered if Justin was not, you know, we talked about going through the reads. I wonder if he wasn't doing that at all.
There's a certain host in Pittsburgh who says, I'm going to lay off Tomlin for a while.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know it's serious then. Holy Toledo. All right, coming up at 9:20, is it a loser mentality to feel that your team had a wonderful season? I say no. Coming up next, don't.